In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello there and welcome to another episode of Full Times in a Podcast. You join us on Thursday the 27th of April and we're just a few days away from another massive game for Celtic in this season as they prepare for the Scottish Cup semi-final against Rangers. In today's show we're going to look forward to that, preview potential team selection, how we think the game will go, but before we do that we'll look at the most recent game, which was of course a 1-1 draw with Motherwell at Celtic Park, which at the time looked like 2 points dropped, but 24 hours later was seen to have been a point gained on our nearest rivals as Celtic moved 13 points clear. Andy, I'll bring you in. You were back for the Motherwell game. I know you were there as well. What did you make it? Obviously, first time since January that we've dropped points in the league. What was your thoughts on the performance?
I was back for the game. So I made it a lang and I think I thought the performance was all right. There was also a lot of hypercritical people after the game. I think the only thing it was really missing was creating sort of gilt edge chances and sort of really, really good opportunities. I thought we were decent at times, but that's all we were lacking. Thought Hak Čabanović didn't have a great game. He's somebody I've spoke up recently. Listen, he's that the kind of players are allowed to have an half day. I thought he was pretty poor. Didn't make it. It was great. I don't think Kyogo had too much to feed on, really. Obviously, he scored a barrel load all season, but particularly recently, he's been finding a net quite a lot. He didn't have too much to feed Afa. I thought we were just a bit in the final third, just falling lacking, if anything. They obviously get their goal, and I don't think Taylor covers himself in glory. A guy who's been brilliant all season, he's been really, really consistent. I think he probably has to do better. I think you know what Van Veen's gone today. He's wanting Celtic to go on his right and hit it. And I think Taylor probably made that too easy for him. But again, that's probably been a bit critical. The boy has done well waiting. It was a good finish. It just felt sort of stuttery. If anything, it's sort of one of the ones. Like, you've been winning week in, week out, obviously, with a good performance against Kelly. We beat Rangers before that. Moving up to Dingwall and won, beat Hibs, beat Hearts. There's been a lot of sort of good performance and great results, and you maybe felt as if, listen, you're not going to go and win every single game in the season. You maybe felt as if we were due it, and I'm glad it happened when it did. If you can pick, you obviously would have rather that happened against Motherwell at home than going and happen at Hampden or in one of the later games, especially given that they went to Aberdeen and made a total cunt of themselves. But I thought it wasn't the best performance I've seen. I thought that was really where we let ourselves down in the final third. We just didn't create anything clear cut. The wide men weren't great. Kyogo didn't have any much service at all. And it was just one of the performances. And I seen Motherwell already go fucking what looked like a documentary out for it, so that tells you everything you need to know about what a big result they've seen it as. It's not something I'm dwelling on. We probably were due having a bit of a stutter. We've been relentless all season, and particularly recently we've been totally relentless. I think the last time we didn't win a game would have been fucking Rangers. Was that Rangers at Ibrox? Can you correct me if I'm wrong?
Aye, second of January, aye.
Aye, and that tells you everything you need to know, just how relentless that we've actually been. And we played Rangers twice since then, and obviously beat them twice since then, so that tells you everything you need to know. So all it was to me is just a bump, but the way we've been all season, the way the team's been all season, we've put ourselves in a position that really it doesn't matter, and it didn't matter. Good to get out of their system. To be honest though, one thing I will say is, I said it to you, I wrote in the group chat when I was at the game, maybe about 70-80 minutes, I felt as if we were going to score. We looked for a sort of 10-20 minute periods if we really ramped it up. And then it just sort of petered out and Motherwell clung on, and it got to late on in the game, and that was it. But it wasn't one of our better performances, lacked a bit of cutting edge, but no something I'm going to dwell on. I think I'm happy to just sort of file that into a game that I'll probably not remember in a couple of weeks' time, and that'll be that.
Aye, as you say, I don't think it'll live long in the memory, and I think especially after what happened on Sunday up at Pittodrie, I think it very fastly left people's minds. And I agree with a lot of what you say. Is like, I think we weren't really brilliant, but I didn't think we were awful either at the same time. I thought first half we were pretty much in complete control. I know Motherwell had a wee chance in the first couple of minutes when they sort of broke forward, but apart from that, I thought we sort of dominated. And like, there was a few corners early on as well that I thought Matt O'Reilly's delivery was brilliant, and there was a couple at Starfelt should have done a lot better way, in my opinion. And I think on another day we'd have been 2 or 3 up, and you're just sort of there thinking you just need the breakthrough to sort of relieve a bit of pressure, and we obviously get that bit of luck when McGregor's shot's deflected and beats the Motherwell keeper, and you would have liked to thought we would have went on and built on from that. But I think it was just sort of the luck wasn't on our side. Like, I know Dyson Maida had a couple of good chances, and keeper made a couple of good saves, and there's the one where he collided with a post as well, and on another day at least one of them's going in, and you're sort of 2 or 3 up and cruising. And then even at the start of the second half, I thought that the turn from Kyogo and the one that he just flashed wide, I thought it was a great bit of movement from him, and it was really unlucky, you know, he put it in. I think if it hit the target, he'd keep it in a chance just with the sort of movement and pace that was on the ball. But that's what happens. And then obviously it's disappointing to concede the way we do. It's obviously for a set piece, and Taylor ends up isolated. I thought it seemed quite poor sort of in terms of positioning for us to get in that position in the first place, where you've got somebody like that one-on-one with your last defender, like, in that sort of short space of time. But I think like Van Veen, he's obviously had a great season. Like, anybody that's got 20 goals from Motherwell, especially in a season where they've sacked two managers, like, he's got to be doing something right. And I think he'll probably be in among the Player of the Year nominations when you see him in a few weeks. But he's not the fastest. So I think Taylor sort of either lost his balance, or he lost his sort of sense of where he was, because he seemed to just get turned inside out. And then obviously Van Veen then puts it away, and a couple of minutes later seems to glide past 2 or 3 other players as well, but thankfully just put one in Joe Hart's arms with that one. But it's like, I'm with you, I think the way this season's went, we've scored quite a lot of late goals, and there's been a few at Celtic Park as well where we've sort of responded to goals that we've conceded. But I think it was your usual chances, but I think the glaring one was we're ahead of, like, we're no long to go. But I thought the one thing that was missing from Saturday was sort of like the wingers' performance. As you say, Haksabanovic, he's got a lot of praise on here, but I feel like the last few games I thought he's just been completely ineffective out on the right. Like, I think the problem is that him and Maeda both play well out on the left, and Ange seems to prefer playing Maeda out there, whereas Haksabanovic, when all his sort of good work he's done this season has been sort of cutting in from the left hand side, and he just seemed a bit out of place on the right hand side. So that possibly be a worry if we're still missing guys like Jota and Abada coming up for the weekend. I know Rocco Vata come on, and it's just a young guy still making his way in the first team. So I think he's done nothing wrong, put a few good balls in, and like, he can't expect too much at this point in his Celtic career, but hopefully one of the other two that I mentioned are back for the weekend. But as I say, as the fact 24 hours later, like, you've seen, it was a point gained, and we're now one win away from securing Ange's second title in a row. It just shows that it's about perspective, and as you say, like, it's the first time we've dropped points in January, so no to be too harsh, but it's just a bad day at the office. But Tony, what did you make in a Motherwell game?
I thought it was pretty shite, to be honest, but just one of the games. I thought they obviously set up very, very well. If their aim is to frustrate us, they just killed the game stone dead. I thought it was a kind of a masterclass in frustrating a team that's a lot better than you. Their keeper was time-wasting. Every time they had a chance to go down, they did. I'm not really going to moan about it too much. I think they're entitled to do that. I mean, they could easily have came and had a go at us, and we could probably have done what we'd done to Killie and put them away within kind of 20 minutes. So, fair play to Motherwell, I thought. As much as it's no great to watch, they're well within their rights to come and frustrate. But just, we weren't great on the day. But I think you can give the players that. I mean, they've been on an exceptional run of form for the whole season, really, domestically, barring the odd blip once or twice. But as it turned out, it was a point gained. I think the manager was really unhappy. I was at his press conference after the game, and he didn't hang about for long. I didn't even ask him a question. To be fair, it was off cut, so I didn't really know what to say. So I just don't think he likes dropping points. I don't think he likes any dropping of standards. I've seen him in a few interviews since. He doesn't seem to be willing to just put it down to a bad day at the office. He wants us to be continually improving at all times, which is great. It's the attitude he should have as a manager. But for me, I think you just give the players a pass, really. Go, bad day, go and make up for it on Sunday. It was good Rangers could beat. It means we can win the league the first game of the split. We're 13 clear with 5 to go, which is tremendous, because I think when you look at Rangers' league form, barring the Aberdeen game, it's probably been pretty good since Beale came in. They've not dropped many points. It's just that we've been so consistent. I think we can still break a few records and probably will score a lot more goals in the last 5 games. If we can't win it at home, but that's just the way the fixtures fell. I mean, I guess you'll take it wherever it is. I know people are saying we should try and get a draw with Hearts to win it at Ibrox, but my genuine feeling in that is if players would need to be safe with the lunatics. So I'd rather just beat Hearts and win the league, and then we can have 4 games, have a party, and hopefully we're in the Scottish Cup final, which is the next one. But in terms of the Motherwell game, I thought Taylor was really poor for the goal. I'm sure he would admit that. He certainly let Van Veen kind of turn him inside out. And then we had a few good chances. Should probably have scored the header. And Kyogo, I think you mentioned, with a kind of swivelling shot, which he was unlucky with. But just a bad day at the office. I think we missed Jota and Hitati, and hopefully once Jota's put down his Air Og album, he'll be ready to go on Sunday.
Definitely, I think he'll be preparing for Sunday the same way a lot of other Celtic fans will be after being spotted at the Brazen Heat today. But Danny, I'll bring you in. Is it a case of just, as a few of them have said, a bad day at the office, or could it act as many as that? Is it sort of a wake-up call and a sort of, well, as many people say, is it a good thing that happened last weekend as opposed to this weekend coming?
I don't think it was ever a good time to drop points, but rather no one. If you're asking me if we could only win one game, if it was this week or last week, I'd obviously pick this week. But it's just difficult what Tony said. I thought it was a poor game. Like, we're always in control, but we're in control of 90% of the games we play. You know, we're in control of every game we play in Scotland. So that was nearly like, wasn't necessarily, I didn't think they were, what, the team played bad, but it just they seemed to be a bit flat. And they probably missed Jota and Abada and players like that who were missing. And Hag Sparovic was fairly quiet on the right. I actually thought he was unlucky a few times, but you might see him, like, before he got injured, he seemed to be taking more responsibility on the ball and trying more things. Not really seemed to have happened so far since he's come back. But, you know, it was the first time I didn't think there was a goal coming. And usually, we'll score at some point. I don't know if it was just a feeling I had, but maybe it was the way Motherwell players were going on, you know, hitting the deck every 2 minutes. I actually thought John Beaton had a good game, which tells you everything you need to know about what I thought of the game, because I actually thought he did really well. And he was quick to call the Motherwell players out for their antics, and there was a couple of times the boy was doing injured that he was just waving play on, even let play resume whilst the guy was doing kidding on his injured. So I don't think people can pin the blame him. He did give his 8 minutes to score as well, but I just didn't think it was coming. I just didn't think for a change. Usually I think we'll get that goal, but I just didn't see it coming. I know, I actually feel sorry for him because he was never on. He just couldn't stretch to get to that ball, and he got as much contact as he could have, and he just couldn't turn that in. And I don't think we threw the ball in the box enough to him late in the game, but, you know, it turned out to be a point gained. As it worked out, so not the worst weekend for a Celtic fan.
I definitely know, and especially the way it ended, and as we spoke about, it does mean that the next league game we play, we can win the league, and that has been after much delay by the SPFL. It's been decided that that'll be away at Tynecastle on the Sunday. The first game we could have split, we'll play Hearts at 2:15. And with a bit of luck, we've scored a lot of goals at Tynecastle this year, with the 4-3 and then the cup game as well, obviously scoring 3 that day as well. So I know they've responded to sacking their manager, Robbie Nielsen, be a big win over Ross County, but I'm sure we'll cover the Hearts game there after this weekend, which is the Scottish Cup semi-final. Andy, I'll bring you in. It's yet another big game for this Angie's team, and they responded to, I think there was a lot of talk before the League Cup final, people saying, oh, Angie's team have never played well at Hampden, and they sort of, there was talk about last year when Rangers beat them in the Scottish Cup semi-final, they responded that day and put on a dominating performance. Are you expecting maybe the same on Sunday? And there's the sort of talk that, like, it's, you don't want to be disrespectful to any of the lower league teams that are in the other semi-final, but it does feel that whoever wins this game will win the Scottish Cup, and obviously for Celtic that's the chance to secure another treble possibly, and for Rangers it's a chance for them to either get to the Scottish Cup final or have Celtic end of season. What are you expecting for this Sunday?
You've got to think it's really is the sort of whoever wins this wins it. I mean, you'd fancy your chances against every team in the top division, let alone teams for divisions below. So that's the way it is. I mean, let's be honest, it's Rangers really pinning their hopes in Stoke and Celtic winning something. That's really all they look today now, is Stoke Celtic being as successful as they are and as we are and as we can be. I don't know. I like to think that we can turn up, and as I said earlier, it was good to. If there's going to be one blip, then I'm happy. If it's against Motherwell, so be it. And then we can sort of get back to being sort of relentless winning machine. In a day fancy, I think the players will be up for it, you know, the usual. But like you say, with these one-off games, it's there's always the chance. And we spoke about it before, even though we've been beating them recently, I just don't feel as if we're turning up. I don't think we've really sort of gone through the gears against them at any point. And I know we are much better than what we've shown. And as I say, I we've beat them, which is obviously great. And that's, at the end of the day, that's all that fucking matters. But I said it before about recent performances against them, it's just, it's not been to the standard and the level that not even we expect that the team have set for themselves. Like, the reason that obviously some people just fucking expect Celtic to beat every single team every single way, and doesn't matter if you be Barcelona and they would expect it anyway, but people with a sort of level head, the reason the expectations are so high for sort of even the average person is because of the team have put the bar there, that they've done that themselves, and that's just testament to how good they are. But I think against them, we've no hit their standards, and as I say, we've beat them, and we keep beating them. But you feel as if we can crank it up again.
I think that was the case in the last time, Hamden, Andy. Because I think I'd agree with you with the last two league games against them, but I thought the League Cup final was one of our best performances of the season.
I mean, I know. When you think about it, like, obviously you go in the League Cup final, we went 2-0 up. And I mean, the goals, obviously, they were split by half time, but I think if you looked at it in the clock, it was probably split by about fucking 10 minutes. And I thought we were the better side for large parts of the game. But again, it comes down to that. We sort of let them sneak back in, and that's what I mean in terms of, like, there's been good performances and there's been a lot of good phases of play against them in each of the last couple of games, but we're no really sort of cranking it up and just putting the game to bed and out of sight. And we're no that sort of relentless way that we are, or that we've shown that we can be, if you know what I mean. Like, we let them get back in that game when, after the second goal, I think it was around 10 minutes, and then they've scored. And when that happens in a cup game at a neutral venue, you know what it's like. It's easily, these teams are sort of a bit of belief, something to cling on to, something to play for. And listen, don't get me wrong, I'll fucking absolutely bite your horn off if we go play to the 94th minute and we score a fucking Chris Julian offside goal again. That's fine with me, but I would just like to see us crank it up against them and really put in a performance that you know is coming. Yeah, I just feel as if it's there. We just need to go out and do it. And I think that's just, as I say, it's just the bar that the players have set for themselves. Like, the reason I believe that we can go and do that against them every time we fucking play them is because the players have proven that they've got it in the locker. It's one of these. It's just, it's a one-off game. I think everybody will have the nerves and all the usual shit that goes along with it. Horrible games when you wake up in the morning and right until the final whistle blows, you've just got that feeling in your stomach. You can be 3-0 up and I'm still at the game fucking dreading every time they get the ball. But I would just like to see us sort of go and really sort of dominate the game in every aspect. And I'm not even asking for like a good and win 5-0, but I feel as if the last couple of games, even though we've won, it's just winning by one goal, and you felt as if they'd have taken a chance here or there, or they would have been back in it. And I think it's giving them more credit than they're due, to be entirely fucking honest with you. And something for that they're clinging on to, that they're not really that far away from us when they are. And I would just like for us really to sort of stamp that down on them, and sort of get the game seen to whereby you're no sitting 10 minutes to go fucking chewing all your fingernails off because there's only a goal in it. And I know we've got that in the locker, and I would just like to see us go and do that.
No, definitely, I get what you mean. I think the last couple of league performances, as I say, have been sort of below the standard that we've seen. Well, obviously, start of the season, we gave them a proper doing, and we have done previously as well. But it'll be interesting to see. Tony, what are you expecting from Sunday? As I said, it's a big game for both. They're playing, that's all they've got to play for this season. And Celtic have got a chance to end their season on Celtic's terms. And as I say, I think everybody would accept that whoever wins this game will be massive favourites to go on and lift the Scottish Cup. And incredibly, that would mean another treble for Celtic if they are successful in doing so.
I guess, if I'm being honest, the semi-final last year had a terrible feeling about it. And I've got a bad feeling this year as well. And I don't know why. It's not based on anything just other than a bad feeling. Don't get me wrong, if Celtic turn up and play to their best, we'll beat Rangers. I don't doubt that. We've got a stronger starting 11 and we've got a stronger bench. I don't know. Maybe it's because, again, you're so close to Big Ange winning the treble. And there's just something about that would be very special. It's just such a huge game. I think it's one of the biggest games in Postecoglou's time at Celtic. I think he must know that. I think he knows he wins this, he's probably going to go down in history as a legend. Winning the treble, such a massive thing, although it's been made to look easy in recent years, it historically just isn't. It would make us the world record holders for trebles, etc., etc. So I want us to start really fast. I want us to fly at them, and I want us to press them, and I want us to get our passing spot on. I don't want us to be starting the way we did at Parkhead, where every second pass was shite, because they'll be desperate to stop us. There's no two ways about it. As he's alluded to, if we win their season's five dead rubbers, where they know they'll be getting pelted by the fans for being losers, etc. Don't get me wrong, if they beat us on Sunday, it doesn't mean that a group of players become winners, that's for sure. But I think we really need to show there is a gap, and the gap is we're much better than them. If Aaron Moy's playing, he needs to up his game. He's been miles off it the last few times I've seen him. I think Matt Riley's come into a game, I'm happy with him. We need to be more clever. I mean, the goals we conceded against them at Celtic Park, I'll grant Tavernier's free kick was an excellent free kick, but the one at the back post, how is nobody picking him up? The one we conceded at Hamden against them, just a lump ball, and fucking hell, everybody knows Rangers just lump the ball into the box. You need to be ready to deal with the likes of Morelos, who is going to be storing about trying to get in the end of kind of second and third ball. So I'd just like us to go out and be really professional about it, be really focused, no silly passes, and try and put the game to bed for half time. We've done it against Rangers teams in the past. Since Beale came in, we've only ever beat them by one goal. It'd be good to give them a proper doing. And I think this team's capable of it. I think our manager's capable of it. But I just feel it's going to be one of the horrible, nervy games. It'll go either way. But, I'm looking forward to it. If we win, I'll be looking forward to it. I hope Jota's fit. And I hope Patati's fit. I think they're terrified of Jota, and he's very direct. I hope Abada's back as well, because he's gave them a lot of problems. it's such a huge game. It's exciting. And it'd be great if it's just desperate to win it. But if for whatever reason it doesn't go our way, it's still been a very impressive season. But hopefully it does, and we can go out there and put ourselves in a tremendous position to win another treble.
Yep, and Danny, how are you feeling? It's about 3 days out from it. How are the nerves kicking in for you? And as Tony says, he's got a bit of a bad feeling towards it. Have you got any sort of feeling about what you're expecting to happen on Sunday?
I've got the same feeling Tony's got, but what I would say is that's because we've beat them twice. And I just think, like, we may beat them the next time, they're more likely to beat us. But even though it doesn't work like that, it's just the way my mind works. I'm confident about the game. I think we'll beat them. It's just at the back of my mind. And I think it's last year's semi-final as well, because it wasn't a great game and we didn't play really well, but we were so comfortable in that game. It won nothing, and then Carter Vickers hit a bar, and then it wasn't even as if their goal came. They just did a wee bit of pressure that they normally have. And I thought we'd see it out, and they got an equaliser, and then they'd something to play for an extra time. And we were probably already thinking about a final, and we just deservedly get beaten the extra time. But I just think that Tony's right. We're better than them, and they think their whole mindset is. They don't even want us to admit that they're better than us. They don't even want us to admit that they're just as good as us. They want us to admit that they're no far away from us. I can't, like, how these are meant to be the people and the master race and, you know, the gallant few and all that, yet all they really want is for us to say, you know what, you're no that much worse than us now. It's weird, like, on the press, you never ever heard when they won the league, when there were no fans and we were on here pulling each other's hair out fucking, you know, three times a week. You never ever heard anything about gaps between Celtic and Rangers. What you had was facts are facts. There's 20 points or whatever. And, you know, Rangers are the best team in the country. And Scottish FIP is thriving. No, we're like about to win the league. And Scottish FIP is shite. And there's no much of a gap between the two teams. I don't get it. It's weird. Anyway, you know, their star man's out the day saying they're close and they want us to beat us. And you're like, well, you know, you should be wanting to beat us. And they lap all that shit up. But that's how they're getting themselves up for the game. And Andy's right and all. Like, and don't forget, we did beat them 4-0 at the start of the season. And the cup final, I know it was 2-1, but that was, we still won that 4 or 5-1. I mean, the chances we missed that day, even before we scored the first goal, so are quite clearly a lot better than them. But you want to leave no doubt. You just want to go in, beat them 3-0 and just leave no end of season and have, you know, and leave no doubt. Because you know what it's like? Like, we could beat them 3-0, knock them out of the cup, right? Basically, you know, essentially set ourselves up for a treble. I know you need to go win the final and you don't disrespect whoever you're playing, but we'll be heavy favourites. You'd be saying that if it was fucking Dundee United and Hibs or Hearts and Kilmarnock waiting to play. You know, I mean, there's two teams for lower divisions. We're even heavier favourites than we would be normally. But then they could turn us over in this league game and they would make that a marker for next season. But so just go out on Sunday and leave no doubt. Just fucking end the season and give them nothing to look forward to, because the shite that we've had to put up with this season, the way they go on about Celtic, and you know, the 3-2 game, shite. Yeah, even the 2-2, there's lots of goals in these games, but the quality is very, very fucking lacking. In the 3-2 game, we strung 4 or 5 good bits of play together the whole game, managed to score 3 times. They've scored a great free kick, which is what, 1 and a 25, maybe, Fifth Avenue. It gets plenty of practice from it inside and outside the box. Their second goal is poor defending for us, but all you hear about is how they need to cut out mistakes. But it's not the same for us. Like, their goals are great attacking play, and our goals against them are bad defensive for them. So, just the way my mind works, they may have beat them, the more likely they're to us the next game, but I'm actually fairly confident for Sunday. I think Jota hanging about the tune today, been in the brazen heat. Surely he's fat. I mean, you don't cut about if you're no fat, and he'd probably let somebody know about or Twitter banner. He'll probably be fat. Hatate, hopefully he's back. And Abada as well, because Hamden's a big pitch. Players like Abada will be really useful later on in the game. I'd imagine, because I don't think he'll start. He might start if Jota's not fat enough, but I just want to beat them and just leave no doubt. We know who the better team is, but you know, they keep thinking, oh, it's 2-1 and it was 3-2, you know, we're not that far away. Well, we should just go on Sunday and show them how far away they actually are, and just beat them, and then you've got a final to look forward to. You've got a league, because if, I mean, not only do you end their season, you basically wrap a treble up for us, and we're a final to play, of course, and then you just look forward to clinching the league. And then, as Tony said, it's 5 dead rubbers for them, and it's just 5 coronations for us, if that's what you, yeah, if you let me borrow a pun for someone else.
No, absolutely. A few years of says, I think everybody's delighted and hoping that we come out and gear them a doing. And I think Andy's right about the performance sort of aspect. I think we've gave them 2, like, where I've thought we were far and away a better team. They'd won at the start of the season in the cup final. I know the cup final finished 2-1, but it really should have been a lot more. With chances like Haksabanovic and O'Reilly missed late on. But just in terms of performance that day, I thought we were miles ahead of them. And I think this one, you obviously want to do it and prove a point and put a marker down to let them know how far away they actually are. But I guess my the one positive you can take if we don't turn up is the fact that I feel that a couple of times this season we have not been at our best and nowhere near our best on some of the occasions, and we've still managed to beat them, or at least avoid defeat. And if you think about the game at Ibrox, I think that was probably one of our poorest performances this season, and we found a way to get a positive result that day. But it's going to be interesting. Like, I think Ange's team, though, apart from last season semi-final in the Scottish Cup, they have been brilliant and perfect at Hampden. And I think Tony's right. Like, I obviously wasn't in the press room, but you could tell that Ange was raging with last week. And I think the fact that the week before we were 4-0 up at Kilmarnock with 20 minutes gone, and then the game finished 4-1, and we were sort of a bit poorer for the last sort of 70 minutes of that game. I think there'll have been a real sort of, I think this week you'll be, every player on the training pitch will be playing for places just because of the sort of performances, maybe dip my wee bit. But I think the team will respond in the way that they have done over the last sort of 18 months to 2 years. It's by far and away they stand up in these games and get a result we need. And like a few of you have mentioned, the three players that are really that have missed a few of the last games, and it will be the real talking points when we're waiting for that team news on Sunday morning. Andy, I'll bring you in. It was obviously Jota, Rio Hatate and Leo Labada. I think obviously Aaron Moy sort of returning from injury as well, and I think everybody sort of accepts that he didn't play well at the Celtic Park game a few weeks ago. And I think a lot of people were fair to say that it was probably down to sort of still carrying a bit of an injury. I think most of the team sort of picks itself. You've obviously got your keeper in back four, and Cal McGregor's obviously going to be there, and along with Kyogo. And I think that's ruined about that. You've actually got a wee bit discussion about who's going to be back. So I'll bring you in. What would your team sort of look like? Like, you know, Tomoki Iwata is really, really impressed in the last couple of games for a lot. Is he going to make it in your midfield? And with the likes of Hatate, especially, and Abada, who've been out for a bit longer than what Jota has, if they are to return, would you expect it to be from the bench rather than from the start?
I think a lot will depend on how fit players are. I think, I mean, just you mentioned Moy there. I mean, I was screaming to get Moy off after 10 minutes against them last time. You kind of play these games where carrying an injury, if you're not 100%, or anywhere near 100%, then I think you could tell that after 10 minutes. And I don't see he's making that same mistake again with, obviously, the three players that are coming back. I don't see he's making that mistake. Think if you're likely, I mean, you could probably afford that a bit more, if you could say that, with somebody like Jota, who's got that spark in him. So our wingers have that, and you're not really as reliant on him for certain aspects of the game, whereas, especially in the middle of the park, if Itati's no up to it in any way, then I don't think he should be starting as highly as I rate him. I've fucking waxed lyrical here, won't hear enough times about Itati. I'm sure I don't need to do it again, how good I think he is, but if he's no sort of going to be up to speed, which I doubt, I just think it's too much to throw him back in. And I think you've seen what happened with Moy. Like, we were sort of carrying a passenger at that point. The amount of misplaced passes, he's not exactly the best blessed with pace anyway, but we can't really do that again. And as you mentioned, Hampden's a massive pitch, so I wouldn't want to be putting ourselves under any unnecessary pressure. Iwata, I thought when he did come off the bench against him last time, I thought he was brilliant. He'd done a lot of just the simple stuff in the game that's often missed and overlooked, like just keeping the ball, so calm in the ball. I mentioned before, the same way Hatate does, that he just looks as if he's in sort of 5 yards more space than everybody else when he receives the ball. So I think definitely he's got to be in with a shout. Getting into the starting 11, and I think the way injuries are falling and people just coming back, it might just be enough to see that happen. And I wouldn't entirely be against it. I think he started the last two games since the Rangers game against Kelly and Motherwell, and he came off against Motherwell maybe about half hour ago or whatever it was, so a wee bit fresher in the legs. I think the back four takes care of itself. It's really the midfield, because obviously Kyogo's going to start as well. You're assuming Maeda's going to start, so it's really in McGregor. So it's really the three, sort of three positions there. And I think O'Reilly's probably deserving his start. I thought he was really good against them last time. Scored obviously a double against Kelly. Wasn't he great against Motherwell, but again, nobody was too brilliant. So I think he's probably deserving his start. I reckon you might see McGregor, Iwata and O'Reilly. And I think, I don't know, as much as I've raved on how I think Hicks Ivanovic will be a good player for us and he will sort of pick up form again. I don't know if maybe that performance or the recent performances of would see the manager sort of turn to Yota, maybe. Which I think is entirely possible. Obviously, he scored against them last time. And as I say, I know I've just sat and said that you can't bring somebody back for injury that quick. I think it's more so in the middle of the park. As I mentioned, with a guy like Yota, you can perhaps afford them to not be 100% because he's got that bit of magic in him. So a wide man would really be the only position I'd look to do that. So maybe, but I think I'd be surprised if Hitati's going to come back, and I think that's really the big one. What's he been out since sort of early March? So early March he's been out since, call it a month, maybe a bit more than a month. I think it's probably too soon to just come in and drop him back in, given we've seen how that's went. But I think he's definitely got a part to play off the bench. We know how important subs are, and subs have been for us. So you have a massive part to play, as well as anybody else that's on the bench. But if I'm guessing, I'm going to say it's McGregor, Iwata, O'Reilly, Maeda, Kyogo, and I'm going to say Jota will be the one that comes right back in.
I think I'm sort of leaning towards agreeing with what you're saying. I think that midfield, I'd imagine, will be the same as the one that started against Motherwell at the weekend. I thought actually Tomoki Iwata was one of the best players on the pitch. I know we weren't brilliant, but I thought when he went off, you could really tell that he went off, and we brought Moy and Tumble on and somehow looked to have less in midfield than we did when Iwata was on. So I think Iwata was obviously, I think he was on the bench for the League Cup final and then brought on. So I think he's, since then, he's played well enough that I think he's probably earned his spot, especially if Hitati is sort of not 100%, which you would expect, because it was, as you say, it was the 18th of March against Hibs. He came off after 12 minutes, so it's about 5 weeks or so since then. So I'd be very surprised if he was in from the start, and I think that Aaron Moy, as much as he was influential in the League Cup final when we played them at Hampden, I think he's just not played enough the last few weeks to get back to that sort of standard that he had run about then. And I think, as was mentioned earlier, I think O'Reilly's form's really picked up the last sort of 2-3 weeks. And I think it would be harsh on him to get him or Iwata actually to get dropped out in favour of Moy at this point. But it just gives you options for the bench again. And I think Hicks Ivanovic is likely to be the one that drops out if it was either Jota or Abada. I'd like to think it would be Jota, because he's obviously a big money signing last summer. This is the games you want him there for, and he's proved damaging against them in the past. So I think if Jota's good to go, then I'd have no harm throwing him in. And I think it would give us maybe a balance as well. Just I think that right-hand side sort of been a wee bit lacking in it the last few weeks. But Tony, how would you look to line up, and if you could bring one of the injured players back, if you could guarantee one of them was ready for Sunday, who would it be?
Hitati, and I would start him. I just think he's such a phenomenal player. I can't imagine he'll have lost much pace, and if he's not fully fit, then obviously don't start him. But if he's trained all week, you'd like to think he'd be at a high standard. My ideal team would be Hart, Taylor, Vickers, Starfield, Johnson, McGregor, O'Reilly, Hitati, Jota, Kyogo, Maeda. But if Hitati doesn't make it, I'd be happy for Iwata to step in. That wouldn't bother me at all. I think he's looked fine. And if Jota's no fit, I'd probably rather Abada. If he's fit over Hicks Ivanovic, I don't think Hicks Ivanovic has been great when he started games. When he's come on, he's looked fantastic. So we'll see. But that's the thing with having the squad we've got. It's there to be used, and And hopefully the likes of Jota and Hitati, if they aren't fully fit, they can come off the bench at any score to try and either seize over the line, get us back in the game, or win the game. So I'll be happy with whatever team he goes unless there's some kind of late injury that totally fucks us up. But are you wanting a prediction after me yet?
Aye, go for a start of predictions off for us.
Right, I'll give you two then. Right, so 3-0 Celtic is one prediction, and I'll say Kyogo will score and Jota will score two if he plays. And my other prediction, actually, I'll just scrap the other prediction. I'll go with 3-0 Celtic. Keep it positive.
Don't know if we could have had you back on the pod if it was any sort of negative prediction. But Danny, have you got any sort of curveballs you would bring to the team on Sunday? Or last year, same as asked Tony, if you could have one of the sort of fitness doubts guaranteed to be back, would it be Rio Hotati? Or do you think we're maybe missing Mer in the winger department?
Jota, for me. It would need to be Jota because Jota hurt them. I know Hitati's a good player, Hitati's hurt them, and all. I'm not for a second saying Hitati it would only be a big miss if he didn't make it. It'd be a massive miss. But I think I could step in and no day I want to do Hitati's job. We know he can, but Jota just gives us something different and up front. And when you look at, you know, his goal, he played a big part in setting the second goal up. And then he scored the third goal last time. He just gives us something that not a lot of players do. So I would have Jota. And I think Celtic wins 3-0 on Sunday. And Kyogo got another two. And I think Callum Vickers will make up for his miss last year and score the second.
That would be some poetic justice there, especially with the Carter Vickers after that chance it was missed, as you said, last year. Andy, what are you going for? What's your prediction?
I was actually going to say 3-0, but better change it since that's what everybody's gone with. I'll go with 2-0. Just a right comfortable victory. Never looking in doubt at any point. And I'm going to say Jota gets the first and then Big O scores one off the bench.
I would take that as well. I don't know. I think it's vital in terms that I think we need at least one of the players back. Not necessarily to win the game. I think the squad's good enough that if all three of them missed it, that we would still find a way. But I think it would be a lot tougher. And I think I'd have to side with Danny. I think Jota would be the one for me that I would want back. Cause I think he's just so pivotal. You think back to that game at Ibrox where him and Moy came off the bench to really turn the screw that day, and he obviously scored in the last game as well, got a goal at the start of the season as well against him. I think he's just like there, like obviously Kyogo's there, he's a brilliant return over the last few games against him as well. He'll be looking to add to his own record. I think I'm sure I read he's only a few goals away from breaking the record for the amount of goals in the season against them, so hopefully he can add to that. I think we'll do them. I think Jota will be back and I think we'll do them 4-1. I think that it'll be a tight game to start with. I think both teams might score in the first half, but I just think this is just the game that's going to see us make up for last season and really push forward to a fantastic end to the season and hopefully towards more silverware. But we will be back next week, hopefully celebrating Celtic reaching another cup final, and we'll look towards that potential title decider against Hearts as well. If you've made it this far, thank you very much for listening, and keep an eye out on our Twitter, which is PodTims, just for all the latest from the pod and to get you in the mood for Sunday. Cheers.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. YahooFinance.com.